Tuesday, April 26th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, the Christian Post sat down recently with Michael Youssef, pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. The interview centered on a distillation article about the new book that he has written, Never Give Up, Holding Fast to Biblical Truth in Times of Danger and Despair. In this interview, he was quoted as saying, "We're seeing deconstruction, pastors watering down the gospel, and other things going on. I realize this is a time for me, at age 73, to leave a legacy to the younger generation of pastors. And it's really not my legacy, it's the Word of God. It's the Apostle Paul's legacy." Harry, I found this interesting because I know you have been asked by the Gospel Reformation Network to give a talk on the same subject, leaving a legacy to younger pastors.
Yeah, the Gospel Reformation Network is having its third annual conference prior to the General Assembly of the PCA in May, and again, Briarwood is hosting it. It's May the 4th and the 5th, and so I was asked to speak, and specifically to speak in terms of 40 years of ministry in the PCA and what would be my legacy thoughts. I don't think that as a minister that you actually live to leave a legacy. I believe that you live intentionally for Christ, and that produces a legacy. Because once you start thinking about legacy, you start thinking about yourself eventually. I think the best way to leave a legacy is to think fully and completely about Christ. And I certainly am very grateful for Michael Youssef. He's a friend, and he has been a wonderful colleague and example in life and ministry as we stretch across two denominations. Of course, he is in the Anglican tradition, and I am in the Presbyterian tradition, but both rooted in Reformation theology. And so I take what he says very seriously, and I commend people to read his book, Never Give Up. But some of the things that he says in this article, Tom, really do resonate with me.
Harry, one of the points he makes, we're seeing these lobbying groups trying to manipulate Christians and say, quote, "Well, if you're really loving, you must love me. You must love my sin. And if you don't, you're really not a very loving person."
He makes an absolutely on-target statement that a number of ministers in the evangelical church that I would say have been influenced by progressive Christianity, and I quote him, deconstructing, and I think that's right. Progressive Christianity is not identical to liberal Christianity, but it is cut from the same bolt of cloth. Both movements were designed to save the church from irrelevance. Both movements are designed to position the church with a mission of cultural transformation. And both movements, because they have exchanged the biblical mission of center transformation for cultural transformation, which, by the way, is an excellent product of the church's ministry, but is not the mission of the church's ministry. It's a consequence. But once it becomes the mission affects the message. And therefore, the leadership of the evangelical church, trying to be culture players, are now, and I quote him, deconstructing Christianity. In other words, you start removing and editing the gospel message so that it is palatable to the culture itself. And in the name of contextualization, they move from speaking in terms the culture understands to terms the culture demands. And thus they begin to use euphemisms or edit certain aspects of the gospel message out. And remember, part of the gospel message is not just the good news for sinners how to be saved, it is the bad news of the sin and why you need to be saved. And that is exactly what is being deconstructed. In liberal Christianity, they denied the faith and changed the faith. In progressive Christianity, they don't deny the faith, they deconstruct the faith. And they don't deny the faith by denying the inerrancy of Scripture, as liberal Christianity did. They deconstruct the faith by denying the sufficiency of Scripture. And that's what you keep hearing people say. Well, I'm deconstructing what I've believed. I am going back and re-examining what I believe. And what they're basically saying is, I'm taking the Christian message I learned, and I'm putting it through the filter of what the culture says, and I am now removing those things that are offensive to the culture. Thus, a biblically anemic, teaching ministry misleading, and Christ-denying and gospel-denying ministry have now come. Now, one guy wrote and said, we need to quit offering cures to sinners, but we need to offer care. Well, you see, I believe in the gospel ministry that you care enough for sinners that you tell them about the gospel cure. And the gospel is actually a double cure. It cures you from the dominion of the power of sin, and it cures you from the dominion of the guilt and shame of sin, so that you can now grow not for grace, but in grace. And so I think he's perfectly on target. And then, Tom, as you quoted, he highlights one of the ways that the culture emotionally blackmails ministers who are deconstructing. If you love me, then you have to love my sin. Now, they don't start there. It's this way. If you want to accept me, then you have to accept me as I am living. That means with the sin. So to accept the person, you have to accept the sin. That is A, unbiblical. Listen, if I love someone that had cancer, I'm going to show them the cancer and provide for them every possible cure for that cancer. And I'm not going to say, hey, I love you so much, I'm going to just love that cancer right along with you. I accept you, so let's accept that cancer. No, I love you and accept you, now let's go after what's killing you. Well, what's true physically is also true spiritually. Sin brings death. It brings physical, spiritual, emotional. It brings all kinds of death into the lives of people, and there is a cure. I care enough for you to tell you about that cure and to walk with you. I accept you, and I love you. Therefore, with you, we are not going to accept sin, its guilt and its shame. You can be right with God and forgiven. You can be set free from the power of sin. Now we can get on a trajectory of the Christian life which kills sin and pursues righteousness, which puts off the old man and puts on the new man.
Harry, he has some pretty strong words when he says, if a person is deliberate in turning their back on Christ, he or she should not be in ministry. If a person says, I don't believe that Jesus is Lord, he does not need to be in ministry. And he basically says, if you're winking at sin, you do not need to be in ministry.
Tom, let me just try to bring this home for our listeners who are encountering this in their local churches, perhaps. You're not going to find a church that's perfect, but find one that's faithful to God's word. You're not going to find a minister who is omnipresent, who is omnicompetent. Go find a pastor who wants to be faithful and preach God's word and lead the church to the fulfillment of the Great Commission and build a culture within the church of the Great Commandment to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But when a church walks into progressive Christianity, it doesn't look to the applause of the Lord. It looks to the acceptance of the world. And the gospel becomes therapeutic, becomes moralistic. One of the points that he makes is a lot of these pastors either grew up in churches that didn't preach the gospel of grace but legalism, or didn't preach a gospel of powerful grace, libertinism and antinomianism. And therefore, they now have no root in their life. They are carried by the winds of the culture in terms of how they communicate. They then eisegete. They put the culture into the word instead of exegete, bring from the word what the people and the culture need to hear from the word of God.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday. as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.